This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sarah. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Sabres can wrap up the season series with a win against Carolina tonight, and few times have we said that in recent years, but Buffalo won here against the Canes. They fell in Raleigh, and with four wins in a row and seven in the last eight, I would say, Marty Baron, that they are in a, you know, they're better suited to close out this season series in their favor tonight.
They're better suited. Why? Because, number one, they have depth up front, and everybody's kind of – look, the Sabres did finish the game with a tweak in their lines in the last game, right? So you're looking at it and you say, okay, so Quinn and Tuck kind of swaps places. It seems like, you know, by the way they looked at the morning skate, that probably go back to what it started with, what has been giving them the success of late. But Lindy Ruff is not hesitating to switch things up in game. Like, I know it's, you know, the end of the season, and unfortunately the Sabres are not in the playoff spot, but you still got to win games, you still got to play, you still got to try to find the right pieces. And, you know, so he did that in the last game after the second period, and they, you know, produced in the third, and but now he's going back to the original lines, which has Thompson on one line, has Paterka and Quinn on the other, has Tuck and Zucker on the other. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a well-balanced top nine.
And the expectation is James Reimer. So where or how do you view this tonight for James, who was able to sit back and comfortably watch Buffalo have very strong second and third periods and pulling away from the Bruins on Sunday, and now he seeks a seventh straight win personally.
Yeah, and when you look at the way that Rimes has been playing, it's a lot about maturity, and the Sabres talk about mature game in the way that they need to play. And a lot of that for a team, it's puck management, it's not taking risks when you don't have to, it's being disciplined. You know, at this time of year, usually we call that playoff hockey. When you play a mature game, like, other teams are going to say, oh, we're in playoff hockey mode. Well, you're not in playoff hockey mode, but you still can have a mature type game. For James Reimer, I feel, in a goalie, a mature game is different. A mature game is being patient, being confident. Mm-hmm. We talk a lot about net coverage. Man, by the way, I watched Connor Hellebuyck yesterday with the Winnipeg Jets. You talk about a goalie that can utilize net coverage. Mm-hmm. Just look at the Buchnevich chance. Mm-hmm. 2-1 with a minute and a half left. He gets the puck. He goes to shoot. There's nothing to shoot at.
Right.
And that's what James Reimer's been able to do. And I think last game, we saw with Luukkonen against Boston, he was chasing it early, a couple of goals. Then he settled in a little bit. But he's got to get to the point where net coverage is a really big thing for a goaltender. And Reimer's been able to do that.
And he'll look to build upon his season numbers, which are 8-8-2, but that's 8-6-2 with Buffalo this year, and trying to get that first win against the Canes this year. He was in goal for the loss in Raleigh. As far as the Hurricanes themselves, going to the playoffs again, 96 points, losers of two straight, those games to Detroit and Boston. Inevitable blip after going 12-2 in the previous 14. What do you make of the Canes?
Well, the Bruins game was terrible.
It was.
It was.
But they also
awful.
Got beat by David Pastrnak, which and Morgan Geekie. And, you know,
we almost saw that in Buffalo.
You do have to tip the cap to just how well Pastrnak's going. But it was a little bit of a, oh my gosh, how did that happen?
And look, Boston didn't get many shots. I think they got 21 shots that game. So, you know, that's basically what
it was. But that's Carolina. They don't give up any.
They don't give up a lot. But their goalies still have, you know, like Freddie Anderson, despite giving up five on six on 21, he still had a 914. Like, the save percentage took a hit in that game, but he still had a 914. They don't give up a lot. We talk about the LA Kings and their home record.
Yes.
The Carolina Hurricanes home record has been unbelievable. On the road, they're technically, you know, like, what is it, five games under, well, under 500. They're two games under NHL 500, but they're 16 and 21 on the road, because I'm using your view of it. 16 and 21 on the road.
Yeah.
This is not the typical Rod Brind'Amour team that plays well on the road. Why are you laughing? So because we got
just out of camera view, we have Mission Impossible. I don't know what number they're at, but
you know what this is like?
No, I know what it is. I'm saying what my mind went to when I thought somebody was going to be rappelling down from the upper level.
Well, right, you know what this reminds me of?
What?
Back to the Future, the very end of the first one, when Doc has to reconnect the wires together. That looks exactly like that big plug. Like, if I grabbed it and I was like getting shot.
Okay, can you do like a live video on social right now, Instagram Live, so people can get the alternate feed of what's that? No, I'm just kidding. Okay, in the meantime, I do want to remind you, this is the final game of the Sabres homestand, but they've got two more to go here at KeyBank. And Sabres fans can win two tickets to Fan Appreciation Night on April the 17th, plus the opportunity to receive Jason Zucker's game-worn jersey on the ice after the game. All you got to do is visit sabres.com/jersey to win. With Noah Oslin, as we get ready for tonight's Sabres-Canes clash, game three for you. How would you describe the first two?
Yeah, they've been funny. Of course, a dream coming through, so it's been cool.
The coach says that he loves the way you play defensively. We all want to see the offense, but you know, we've seen it in Rochester. What does that feel like when the coach says he's not making any mistakes and I can trust him on the defensive side?
Yeah, it means a lot. That's how I want to be as a player too, to be reliable in both ends. So, of course, that's good to hear.
How was that first power play opportunity in game one?
Yeah, it was, first shift was a little bit nervous, but could have had a tip there on the shot, but yeah, it was fun.
Did you go back and watch it a couple of
times?
Yeah, of
course.
You're like, oh, what?
Yeah, it was a pretty slow shot too, so
I should have tipped
it. Who shot it?
I think it was OP.
Okay, so we got to tell OP, hey, Noah thinks he got a slow shot.
Yeah, but you're not often in that position on the power play. Often you're on strong side up high, seeing the ice from a different vantage point. So how much do you work actually on deflections and situations like that?
Yeah, it's the first time I'm there on the power play. So we worked today with a little bit of tips, and that's where you score. So it's a good position to be in.
Alex Tuck teaches you some, because he's probably the best tipper on the team.
You get to tip it off yourself.
So yeah, I saw that one. Yeah,
that was last game.
Yeah.
That was crazy.
Yeah.
Now, I used to, every practice, Dave Andrechuk used to say, Marty, in net, and then he'd get a defenseman, shoot pucks, and he would keep his stick in front of him, and he would screen the goalie and tip everything. It was incredible. Is that some of the things you were working on today?
Yeah, exactly. And that's where you score, so that's where you have to be.
So how did you work on all the other stuff over the years? I mean, at what point did you really feel like two-way game is going to be your kind of launch into pro hockey?
Yeah, I think I've always been like that, kind of. And of course, there was some struggle at the beginning with the offense, but I felt that it would come because I created so many chances, but couldn't finish. And from that on, I think I've been working on that every day, so now it's better.
But now you seemingly, with Rochester, the goals are coming in from everywhere. So how, like, kind of rewarding is that to know that all the work you put in allows you power play, even strength, shorthanded, all situation? Like, it just seems like there's a confidence everywhere.
Yeah, of course. I think it's a lot of confidence. I mean, you want to be an offensive guy, you want to produce, so that's where your confidence comes from, so yeah.
Who was your favorite players growing up?
I would say Pavel Datsyuk in Detroit.
Okay, so, you know, the hands, the magic man.
Yeah,
like, but
exactly.
he was really good at both ends of the ice. He was so reliable.
For sure.
A great passer, a great playmaker. So do you still sometimes go back and watch Datsyuk videos to kind of see what he's, just as a reminder?
Yeah, I've done that. Now it was a pretty long time ago, but of course, yeah.
Yeah.
Who else? Got any Swedes? Any countrymen that you love?
No, not really. When I was really young, it was I liked Kane.
Yeah.
Kane. The hands there too, so.
Yeah, the hands are definitely
there.
So,
yeah.
But okay, so Kane is number 88, Datsyuk was 13, right? So, you end up with 36. You know, you're 86 in Rochester. I love 86 for you. And now you got 36. Could that change at some point in the future?
Yeah, I think so. I didn't get to choose this time, so.
Oh yeah.
36 was just.
So that was your training camp number.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you know, you got 36.
Yeah.
Okay.
But 86 is nice. I like that one.
86 is really nice.
What did you wear as a kid most years?
I think I was 13 because of that Datsyuk.
Yeah.
And then when I changed to a bigger club in Sweden, I got handed 45, so I had that a couple of years.
45 is not a forward number.
No, I know.
Like it's a defenseman number, I think. 45 is like, isn't Curry in Montreal 45, I think. Like 45 is a defenseman number.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, but 86 is nice.
86 is really nice. Yeah. So what about your stick? Like, you know, we Duffer's been telling me, hey, look at Noah, look at how he's done in Rochester. But I look at the shot, like the one-timer, sometimes the knee down.
Yeah.
But I feel like a lot of that work is in your stick. So what kind of stick do you use, the flex, the curve, like any little special things that you do?
Yeah, I use a 75 flex.
That's pretty whippy.
Yeah, but I just changed to 75.
Okay.
Like I had 70 almost. Till Christmas, then I changed, and then I kept scoring.
So a little stiffer worked.
Yeah, a little stiffer, and then my curve, I took it from William Eklund in San Jose Sharks.
Okay, yeah.
I like that one. It's a little bit of a mix of a P28 with a little bit more curve, and then P29 with a little bit less.
So do you know William Eklund?
Yeah,
So you got to see a six, and you're like, ooh, I like that, and then you took that?
Yeah, I tried that one during the summers, and I liked it, so I've been
maybe somebody will grab your stick one
day.
Yeah,
maybe.
I like that Noah Oslund stick.
Hopefully,
they'll go like that.
For sure.
Who have you found, the answer could be everyone, but who have you found you've had the most chemistry with playing in Rochester this year?
Yeah, I think Rosie. I think we've been playing good together. Of course, he's an offensive guy that sees dice very good, so I enjoy playing with him. And we've been playing a lot with Murray, big guy, strong, and great in front of the net. So that's been a good mix, I think.
That's why his nickname is the Big Murr.
Yeah,
Big Murr.
Exactly.
He's a big guy.
Yeah.
He goes to the front of the net. So is the speed a lot different from the AHL to the NHL? Because a lot of people always say, oh, you know what, it's a lot faster. But I remember we talked to, who was it that said he felt like he had more time in the NHL just because the execution was, he would get the puck on his stick
Arttu Ruotsalainen.
Arttu Ruotsalainen. Yeah. That's right, Duffer. Thank you. He would say he felt like he had more time in the NHL. What do you see? Like more speed or more time?
I think more time, actually.
Okay.
Like in the NHL, there's a couple of guys just running around trying to hit you here. Most of the guys are like pretty skilled and knows where to be, so I think that's a big difference.
So when you get the puck, first of all, it's on your stick, but second of all, everybody's in the right position, so you know what play to make.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, that's good.
Family still in town?
Yeah, actually, they get to see three games, so they're happy.
That's a good
really week.
Yeah.
Were they scheduled to come in, or like when you got called up, they're like, we're going?
No, when I got called up, they went. But my dad was here until Saturday, and then he went home, and then he had to come back for the call-up.
Collecting the air miles for the trip later.
And I got a fun story of him. He when he booked his flight first time to Rochester, he booked to Rochester, Minnesota.
Oh, no. That is great because
we
had Yuri Kulik in here telling us that on Christmas he was going to go to Minnesota, and he booked his flight instead of Christmas, December 24th, or he booked it for February 24th, so he booked it for the wrong
month. So him and his brother got all the way to
Toronto, and they were stuck in Toronto.
No way.
So your dad, did he get to Rochester, Minnesota?
Yeah, and then he had jumped in the rental car, and it said 14-hour drive.
Yeah.
So then he had to go back and fly the next day to Rochester, New
York. Oh, no.
Yeah.
So he landed, and did he know he was in Rochester?
No, he had no idea.
He was in Rochester.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
And then he called me when he was in the car, and said 14 hours. He said it was like 15 minutes.
We're getting great stories of like plane, trains, and automobiles.
This is a series, right? Yeah. This is the making of a series here, Sabres Travel.
Yeah.
Well, I'd love to meet your dad and say, you know what, if you have any issues with driving around Minnesota, I'll help you.
Yeah. And stay here for longer.
Yes.
You know, now that you've got your feet on the ground here in Western New York. So what have they thought of all of this? And just, you know, on a regular basis, whether they are here or not, how much conversation do you typically have with them about hockey?
Yeah, I think pretty much. I think my dad is very interested in hockey. He has a lot of friends that have played, so he knows pretty much. But yeah, I would say we talk every other day. So they're happy to be here, and they're proud of me, so that's good.
Do they wake up in the middle of the night to watch the games, or do they watch it the next day on replay?
Yeah, my dad wakes up almost every night.
Almost every
night. And goes to sleep a little bit before, and then wakes up. And
so the games would be at what, like 3
at 1 a.m.
Okay, so there's a 4-hour difference.
Yeah, no, it's six hours.
6 hours, yeah. Okay. Yeah, so yeah, so
seven to one.
Seven to one.
What's hometown for you?
It's like 40 minutes outside of Stockholm.
Small.
Yeah, small town.
Yeah,
Nykvarn, it's called.
And any other famous hockey players from right there?
Yeah, Carl Hagelin.
Oh, yeah. You know.
I know Carl. Really, I played with him in New York, so
yeah,
I love Hags. Although, nobody thought he was a Swede because his English was perfect. Like, he played
college
hockey.
Yeah.
He would be, like, just fitting in everywhere.
Yeah. That's the Landeskog effect.
Too. Long hair, blonde, but other than that, totally.
So
he's from the same town,
And Michael Samuelson.
Yep.
He was in Detroit. That's my... That's my dad's one of his best friends. So,
okay, that's cool.
He was a very effective player with Detroit.
Sure. Very. So I've gone to Stockholm and I've got to Gothenburg.
Yeah.
Which city do you like best, this or that? Because obviously Lindqvist is from Gothenburg.
Yeah.
He always said Gothenburg was better than Stockholm.
Yeah.
But which city do you like best?
Yeah, I would say Stockholm, of
Stockholm
course.
Stockholm is,
I live pretty close to there. So.
Okay, okay, that's good.
Yeah.
I remember we went to play against Frölunda.
Oh,
In a preseason game,
in
the
Gothenburg?
Rangers against, and it was unreal.
Yeah,
the atmosphere in Sweden
is
unreal.
Yeah,
so.
It's so cool. Yeah,
I should have done the research over the last two games and going into tonight, but have you been up against any good friends in the first few games?
No, I have not.
Okay.
I know Lysell a little bit, played in Boston, but not that good. So
okay.
Not really.
Very good.
Okay, well, good. Well, you know, with... what do you think of Ovi getting to 895? Like, you're like, I want to get one. He's
yeah,
got 895.
No. Yeah, that's
What'd
so cool.
What do you think of that?
That's so cool. A record no one thought was going to be broken. So that's so cool, and I think he deserves it too.
Did you used to watch a little Ovi when you were a
yeah,
kid?
Yeah, of course, yeah, with that style and everything.
Were you Ovi
yeah.
or Sid?
I think I've been a Sid fan, yeah.
Yeah. Playmaker, plays the overall game.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, I like that.
Thank you for stopping by.
Yeah,
continued success.
Yeah.
Great storytelling. We appreciate it. And,
can't wait to meet your dad.
Absolutely.
No.
Thank you.
Yeah, of course.
Great kid. There's no question about that. Yeah. And he's got a comfort level that is a joy to be around. And he looks to be here through the end of this regular season and then help guide the Amerks as they pursue a Calder Cup. And this is your last week to renew your seats and lock in for the next Sabres season. You can renew by Friday, the 11th of April at 5 p.m. to maintain access to savings on box office pricing, exclusive event initiatives or invites, pardon me, and a lot more. Visit sabres.com/renew to lock in your seats today. All right, what more do you have to say about Noah after that visit?
That is so funny about his dad, who flew to Rochester, Minnesota, got in the car, and then is like, you told me it was 15 minutes away. It says 14 hours. Dad, I'm looking at your location right now. You're in a different state. So, and then... like, as Noah said, he went back home to Sweden just to get... so he came to Rochester, spent some time, went back home to Sweden just to come back to Buffalo.
For the big moment.
For the big moment, for the, you know, for his game and all. So that's pretty incredible, the dedication. And I don't know what he does for a job, for a living, but I'm sure when he called his boss and say, I need more time off, They said, you go right ahead. My dad was like that. My dad literally was like, we're leaving on Wednesday. We're going to see Marty in Buffalo or Philly or New York. Mm-hmm. And boss was like, okay, no problem. Then he'd be like, we're leaving. We're going to see Matthew in Washington or Florida. Mm-hmm. Boss would be no problem. I guess just, you know, they facilitate it, but... Yeah, it's always pretty cool.
Yeah, it really is. The opportunity for, you know, parents, siblings, grandparents many times. Mm-hmm. I mean, I just think of, you know, in the last window of time, the number of young players, obviously, that have come through Buffalo and just how genuinely excited, you know, they are to be in the arena and stop by the set and say hello. And it's almost... hard to believe how many of them are thankful to all, like, everyone kind of involved in it, you know? And it's like, no, like, you don't need to thank anybody. Like, you just enjoy the moment here. But they are so thankful to be able to be in and around the moment and the moments when they unfold early on in these careers.
And that's what's special, right?
Yeah.
To be there and be able to experience it. But... and it's changed over the years. Last night, the Edmonton Oilers had Olivier Rodrigue play his first NHL game. Mm-hmm. His family flew to Anaheim to catch the game between the Anaheim Ducks and the Edmonton Oilers. So that was cool. Saw them on TV. The mom's crying, right? She's wiping out tears. Seeing her son there, first NHL game. Mm-hmm. It's pretty cool. Back in the days, it had to be in your contract. That I had that in writing in my contract that for my first or one of my first few NHL games, my mom and dad would get flown in, hotel for a couple of nights, and flown back. It was in your contract. Now, most teams kind of like it's just understood, like, okay, we'll try to make the arrangements, get tickets. Maybe they have to get their own plane tickets to get there or drive, but it's really cool. And also... everybody's getting so darn young. Like, maybe it's just because I'm getting old. He's talking about, oh, my dad's really good friends with Michael Samuelson. I just looked him up. He's born in 76. I played my whole career against him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, so you're saying your dad's best friend is my age,
right?
Which means, like...
Jacob could be Osland now.
I mean, Jacob's 20, so...
Yeah.
But I felt like I was 27 years old... Well, 26 when Jacob was born, I felt like dad was pretty young, right?
I'll give you some advice. Listen to more music. It'll keep you younger.
Well, maybe. I don't mind. I lose aux whenever my kids are in the car. It's like, dad, we're disconnecting you and connecting ourselves. So that's the way it goes.
Yes. And last night there were some, you know, big moments from, you know, if we're talking about individual players and how Noah liked watching Pavel Datsyuk mm-hmm. and the recent Ovechkin milestone. And, you know, if there's one guy that I've been pushing this year between you and Shayna and me when we gather on our Friday installment.
What team?
Huh? MVP.
MVP Kucherov?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Like, this is crazy. I just...
And that was easy, slim picking against the Rangers. Let's just put it there.
Oh, so now we're going to pick apart all of Nathan McKinnon's points and say, oh, well, look at the teams
I'm
he played against.
I'm taking a shot at the Rangers, not
I
at Kucherov.
Know you are. But here's the thing. So it's yet again another incredible race between McKinnon and Kucherov. But the historical aspect of last night for Kuch, fourth player ever.
Yeah.
With four, is it four or three consecutive 80-point seasons?
Well, Gretzky only did it 13 times.
No, I get that.
13 but, in a row.
Yes.
And we're celebrating four.
Was it four for Kuch?
Four in a row, yeah. Four 80-assist season in a row.
See, even that makes me just pause.
He had 100 last year, which was incredible.
Oh, I know.
But, yeah, so.
No, it's three.
Three. Okay, three.
Thank you.
13 Wayne Gretzky, 3 Kucherov, 3 Paul Coffey, which was with Wayne and those, and Bobby Orr, obviously.
How would you like to be second to Gretzky?
In anything.
With Coffey and Orr.
Yeah.
But again, what were we talking about last week a lot? Playmaking winger. Like, Kucherov gets thought of, there's a million ways people look at Nikita Kucherov, right? But, like, beyond Gretzky, it's Coffey and Orr.
Yeah.
It's not easy to get in this list, right?
How about this?
So.
I was doing RDS yesterday. Mm-hmm. Before me, Ray Bourque was doing an interview. They asked Ray Bourque, You know, you have Cale Makar, Quinn Hughes, Lane Hutson this year. Who is the best defenseman, or who could you just compare those type of defensemen to maybe the best in your era? You know that Ray Bourque did not mention anybody because he hated not being the best, right?
Yeah.
He didn't mention Paul Coffey. I'm like, the first person that comes to mind when I think of Cale Makar, Lane Hutson, Quinn Hughes, it's the skating of Paul Coffey. He didn't mention Paul Coffey because Ray hated not being the best, and Paul Coffey was pretty much the best back then.
It's like how, well, that's debatable, obviously.
Yeah, it's debatable.
Especially in Ray's mind, but it's no different than how Waugh looks at Marty Brodeur.
Or Dom. And Patrick is like,
yeah,
no, I'm the best.
Right.
So that's the way it was.
Well, sadly, we end by talking about goaltenders and just stunning sad news in the hockey community yesterday with the passing of longtime NHL netminder and much longer NHL Hockey Night in Canada Sportsnet analyst Greg Millen passing away suddenly. And I mean, our business of hockey, the broadcast business, is incredibly small, incredibly small, despite its global reach. So I don't know about from your standpoint, because obviously it was a lot more Sportsnet and Hockey Night in Canada, and you've done more work with TSN, but there's so much overlap. There's so much you've done in radio. There's so, you know, it just feels like we all talk and kind of quote unquote work together over the course of time. And Greg has been a part of that for so long. It's just hard to believe he today is not part of that.
Yeah, incredibly sad to hear of Greg Millen's passing yesterday. I remember when he played for the Quebec Nordiques, right? He played for a lot of different teams. He played a half a season with Quebec, probably their worst season in their history, and they had some bad ones. They were, believe it or not, 21st in goals against and 21st in goals for that year, 89-90. But I remember the style, right? Right-handed catching goaltender, the big arrow flex. And then as a broadcaster, he was so good. He was so friendly with everybody, the players. He was in between the benches often and would have conversation with the players all the time. They knew he was. They grew up watching him. He was one of the best. And you talk about some of the internal rivalries, sometimes Sportsnet, TSN, like right now ESPN, TNT, whatever. He didn't care about that. Mm-hmm. He was great to everyone, and he was doing games, you know, until recently. And this is extremely upsetting and sad. And think of his family and, you know, everybody that worked with him. The Calgary Flames did not put a broadcast up last night. In respect for his family, they decided not to produce a broadcast. They've aired the San Jose broadcast because Greg Millen was doing Flames games a lot with Hockey Night in Canada, and they decided not to put anything up there. That's the impact that he has had on a lot of the fan base in Canada and a lot of the people.
Greg Millen passed away at 67. Our condolences to his family and all of his friends in the hockey community.